starring Julie Walters. In a cosy seaside pub.
Tell this, everybody. Our next contestant is Ellen, who's going to sing Wonderwall by Oasis.
Ellen, a young girl with Down syndrome, takes to the stage. Mo Molan sips a pint at the bar and gives Ellen a thumbs up. With Gary Lewis, David Haye, Adrian Dunbar, Stephen McIntosh, John Lynch and Toby Jones.
Flooded. He's got no hot water. Yeah, well, if that boiler isn't fixed today, I'll have it taken out and shoved up your arse, sweetheart.
Save one for me, boys. I want a fucking great card this big.
Hey, darling. Yeah, red card.
Sorry, darling. Surgery overran.
So we gathered.
John Norton greets Mo on a beach with a kiss and a glass of wine. His children are playing baseball on the sand.
That's better. God, what on earth did I used to do at weekends?
Before we came along.
Creating mayhem in your life.
Oh!
Crap being on your own, isn't it?
Never again.
They share a long, passionate kiss.
God, I need a fuck.
It's a bit tricky. Broad daylight.
Suddenly it all cracks. Okay, you two. Right. Oh. It may be captain of the school team for nothing.
Mo slogs the ball and sprints along the beach screaming with delight. John's cooking dinner at home.
Just about to put the video on, Dad.
Right with you.
Give myself some teeth.
Where did that come from, anyway?
A dozen's made, darling. Christmas presents.
Die Hard with a Vengeance?
Guns, bombs, car chases!
We know your taste.
Don't start without me.
Mo heads to the kitchen to fetch another bottle of wine. Her hand spasms violently, and she drops the bottle.
Jeez! Mo!
She conceals her hand.
It's just a bottle of wine.
No, come through.
A news report.
The casualties were taken to different hospitals in Manchester. A baby was one of those caught in the blast. The bomb exploded at around 11:20 this morning with devastating effect.
This is not the way ahead towards peace. They are only to hear that. And they need to hear that they're living in a fantasy world.
Tony, hi.
Yeah.
Just seen it on the news. Any news on casualties?
Mo tidies the broken bottle.
No, sure. I'll put in some calls now. Yeah. But, you know, in the end, we both know it's going to be stalemate in Ireland till after the election.
The Prime Minister of our country can't even urge his party to support his own position. Yes. Weak, weak, weak.
Kilfoyle, you missed PMQs.
Yeah, carnage out here.
Tony was lethal again.
If that was a boxing match, they'd have stopped, I think.
Poor old Major.
Poor lady, what do you mean, poor lady?
Well, he's got some things going for him.
Like what?
A huge cock. No, honestly, it's even bigger than Heseltine's, and that's a stonker, apparently. Well, thanks.
Oi! Calls herself a socialist and then snatches bread from the mouths of working men.
Fuck off and kill a Tory.
Oh, Peter. Tony loved them.
Loved what now?
My ideas for the draft manifesto.
Doesn't necessarily mean they'll end up in it.
Well, that's for Tony to decide, isn't it?
Yes, I think I'll find I have quite a large say in the matter too.
Oh, Peter, you can be such a dick.
A clever one, Mo.
Mo sticks her middle finger up at him.
Read these, will you?
Look, I've got nothing to do.
My Northern Ireland economic renewal proposals. I know Ireland's not your problem.
It won't be your problem after the election, Mo. I'm sure Tony's got bigger things in mind for you. The Treasury, Home Secretary even.
I'm not counting my chickens. Don't look at me like that, Adam. I'm a soldier, just like you are. I do whatever I'm fucking asked to do.
Mo, you okay, doll?
I'm fine. Why?
You seem even more hyper than usual.
We've got an election to win. 18 years those bastards have been in power.
Why, but you need to pace yourself. Have a drink.
I've no time for drinks.
Well, I mean, here. With me, now.
Adam grabs a bottle of whiskey and pours out two glasses.
The victory. You big-headed English cow.
To victory. Ignorant Scots bastard.
Mo arrives home.
Yeah. Yes, I've just got here. I'm back in London tonight. I know it's 250 miles, Kate. I drive it all the time. Dr. Strang!
Oh, lovely to see you.
Yeah, they're threatening to close the steelworks.
Again?
And a ward at the hospital. So I need to put more rockets up arses.
You look knackered.
Oh, no, I'm fine. No, the Tories are on the ropes. Love life's great. Sex life's pornographic.
Lucky you.
Giving up in the new year.
Yeah.
Dr. Strang notices Mo's hand shaking as she lights a cigarette.
Let me see your hand. Please.
Dr. Strang takes her hand.
This happened to you before?
Oh, God. Everyone gets the shakes.
Not like this, they don't.
Jesus, Susie, if I want a checkup, I'll come to the surgery.
Well, it may be something or nothing.
I refuse to be ill now.
John's in his office in the city.
John Norton.
Darling, I'm at Charing Cross Hospital.
Dr. Mullum, I'm Dr. Glazer.
This is my husband, John.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Take a seat, please.
Well?
We do have a problem.
Dr. Glazer pins a scan of Mo's brain to a light box. Mo puts on her glasses, and John glances over at her anxiously.
Here. In the left frontal lobe. It's a tumour.
Is it malignant?
I'm afraid so. It's what we call an astrocytoma.
How long have I got?
I'm not God.
No, but you must have some idea.
With this grade of tumour, the average survival is 2 to 3 years.
Mo's shell-shocked. John puts a comforting hand on her arm.
What can you do?
Organise a course of radical radiotherapy and have to take steroids for the side effects.
Trust you. As long as it's finished before the election.
Sorry?
Well, I'm a politician. There's always certainly going to be an election on May 1st.
Well, we could delay the...
No, no, no. We must get it done before, mustn't we, darling?
One other thing. Nobody must know.
Moe's standing in a fish and chip shop at the seaside, staring thoughtfully out of the window. John brings her some chips.
Lovely. Thanks.
He stands with her and gently shakes his head.
Why didn't you tell me when you started having symptoms?
Stop fretting, another chip.
All right.
Come on, darling. We've got to make the most of this. It's going to be hard for us to come up here for a while. I've got my treatment and you're off to Bahrain.
I can't leave you like this.
I'll be fine.
I just wish it was me.
Well, you mustn't. Because I'm not going to let it bloody well beat me. But it's no good just me believing that. We both have to.
Of course. We'll beat it together.
Right. Now have a fucking chip. They're lovely, come on.
Ready?
Oh. God, she's gorgeous, isn't she?
No. I know it's uncomfortable. But it's really important you keep still.
Okay. 20 minutes at gas mark 7.
Moe lies down on the table and the radiographer straps a transparent protective mask over her face. Then begins the treatment.
Don't forget I'm in here.
Moe appears nervous as the machine whirs into life. Later, dressed in a suit, she vomits into a public toilet. She eases herself up. Then makes her way over to the sink, where she wipes her face with a handkerchief. She flicks her hair back and pinches her cheeks. She emerges from the toilet into a hospital corridor and comes across Dr. Glazer.
How's it going?
Hi! It's fine. Yeah, put on a few pounds, but that's all.
Yes, it's the steroids.
Nobody's realised.
Well, there are some people you're going to have to tell. Driving authorities, you're going to have to surrender your licence.
Oh, that's a good thing. I'm a lousy driver.
And what about your employer?
Tony? No, I can't tell him.
The side effects may get worse. More weight gain, hair loss. Suppose he finds out you've been keeping it from him.
No, babe. Listen, I won't keep you. Just wanted to let you know I'm having some medical treatment at the moment. No, it's not a problem. It's not stopping me doing my job or anything. Radiotherapy. A brain tumour. No, darling, honestly, don't worry. It's treatable. Yeah, totally benign.
She flicks a guilty glance at Dr. Glazer, who's listening.
But I haven't told anyone, Tony. So, you know me. I hate fuss. So. Yeah, if you could just keep it to yourself. Thanks, babe. Happy?
Dr. Glazer looks grim for a moment, then forces a half smile.
I'm going to have to monitor you very closely.
He smiles. Then Mo gets up and kisses him on the forehead. Mo strides along the corridors of Westminster, joking with passers-by.
Got these spare tights, Charlie? Lad of mine. Election planning meeting tonight.
Yes, but not essential for you to be there. Your strength is in execution, not strategy.
Oh, I'll be there. Tony's asked me.
In a bathroom, Mo uses the toilet with the cubicle door wide open.
Silly old queen.
Sorry?
Mandelson! Do you know, things have never been the same between us since he slept the night on my sofa, my old flat in Redcar. I'd have told me you didn't have a spare room. I said, share my bed. Refused. As if I was going to try and bum him in the night. You know, I've hardly put on any weight.
She stands in front of the mirror and runs her fingers through her hair. She looks horrified as a large clump comes away in her hand. A black cab pulls up outside Mo's home, and John gets out. She's standing at an upstairs window, watching him with a worried expression.
Mo!
He goes upstairs.
Mo?
When he enters the room, she has her back to him.
Mo?
There you are. God, bloody Heathrow.
She turns to face him, and he sees that her hair's extremely thin and has receded back. He's moved, but he puts on a brave face. He moves forward and hugs her tightly.
I need more than that.
They share a tender kiss, and John brings his hands up to clasp her face. Mo's having a wig fitted.
Yeah. Can we have a look at another, please?
Certainly. You ready?
The assistant puts a blonde bouffant wig on Mo's head.
Okay, out the front again.
Kate laughs at the ridiculous wig.
I'm sorry. Do you have another, please, that we can look at?
Yes, of course.
The Prime Minister, John Major, speaks to the press.
I'd like to formally confirm that I've seen Her Majesty the Queen this morning and sought her permission for a dissolution of Parliament and a general election on the 1st of May.
Mo tentatively makes her way up a staircase towards a new Labour press conference. She nervously pats her new blonde wig, which is in the style of a bob with a thick fringe.
There are no magic
instant
solutions. What we do say is that Britain can be better.
After the conference, Mo speaks to a journalist.
Well, obviously we take nothing for granted. But as Tony keeps saying, in the end, it's for the people to decide our future. OK, Jo?
Yeah, thanks, that's great. So, looking forward to the campaign?
Can't wait. Traipsing around the country, giving speeches, living off rubber chicken and pork pies.
Don't give us that.
You love a pork pie.
Looks like you're partial to the pork pie yourself.
no, I've just given up smoking. To go on a diet.
I'd suggest a new hairdresser too. New labour, new image and all that.
Bloody hell. Hacks, eh? They're unbelievable. Think it suits you, man? Don't you, Adam?
You look fine to me, Dom.
Mo looks hurt. Later, she reads a news article.
Is Mo Molum living proof that fat women have more fun? Oh, fuck, here we go. Let's hear it for fat women. A new service says they're happier, sexier and less trouble than thin ones. Great news for husband of Redcar MP Mo Molum, who was put on 2 stone after giving up smoking.
I wouldn't read any more. Yeah.
Bears an undeniable resemblance to an only slightly effeminate Geordie Trucker.
I'm sorry, she's not here.
You bitch.
That was the son asking for a comment about rumours you're wearing a wig.
They're onto it. They're onto it, and if they're onto the wig, they'll soon work out the reason.
Fuck. Maybe you should announce it.
What, tell the world I've been treated for a brain tumour?
But if they're going to find out anyway.
It'd be political suicide!
Shit.
Mo's woken up in the morning by John bringing in a tray of breakfast.
You angel.
And I've got the Sundays too.
And?
Well? Molum beats brain tumour. Incredible fighting spirit of brave Mo. And a fighter and a winner all the way. As if there was ever any doubt.
Fantastic.
John kisses her. In the office, Mo watches the news.
On his return from the palace, Prime Minister Blair again stopped the car, got out and began a remarkable walkabout. Then throughout the day, leading lights of the party came and went from number 10, which are finally learning from the Prime Minister what part they are to play in his vision for a new Britain. For the most senior jobs, there are no major surprises. Gordon Brown, as expected, becomes Chancellor of the Exchequer.
Ireland.
Jack Straw is to be Home Secretary.
Don't say a fucking word, Peter. Adam, what are you doing for the next 2 years?
Oh, as if you don't already know.
Violent and distressing images of the conflict in Northern Ireland throughout the years. Rioters being fired upon by police. A man slumped over a child's coffin in the back of a hearse. A car torn apart by a bomb, and soldiers running down war-torn streets. Mo and Adam are driven in the back of a car through a destitute neighbourhood. Old news footage shows a building collapsing. Mo witnesses dilapidated houses on her journey. A huge mural reads, "You are now entering Loyalist Sandy Row, heartland of South Belfast, Ulster Freedom Fighters." The sides of houses and walls are painted in colourful murals, depicting flags, shields and slogans. A mural of Bobby Sands, armed soldiers patrolling the streets, a building adorned with an image of an IRA paramilitant. News footage of a riot van on fire. The car stops.
What's going on?
Maybe they're getting the assassination attempt in early.
Curious pedestrians gather round.
More, what are you doing? More!
Get out!
Well, thank you, my darling. I am well now. That's grand.
please, because this place is in need of some healing too, so it is. Well, I'll do my best.
Oh,
I promise.
Bless you.
You look lonely, Mum.
Thank you, my darling. You don't look bad yourself.
A car pulls up the long gravel driveway of the opulent Hillsborough Castle. Inside the manor, Mo hurries past the butler.
I'll get it, sweetheart.
John and his children get out of the car.
Sorry, no Jehovah's Witnesses, no salesman.
Welcome to Hillsborough.
Thank you.
Wow!
This must be another fairy tale, isn't it?
Are they ghosts?
Oh, yeah, loads, I'm sure. This is Queenie's house. Oh, she hardly ever comes, so we can do what we like.
That's her throne, Freddy. You've actually got your bum where the Queen's had her bum. Yeah.
It's a bit decadent and imperial, of course.
Can't get you, Jerry Adams.
There will be time for play.
Oh, yeah.
Mo and Adam are being driven to Stormont.
You know, there are things in our favour.
Such as?
Well, the Loyalists have called a ceasefire. The Irish government's behind us. So's Bill Clinton.
Aye. And 400 years of history against us.
Pompous twat.
You mean Carson or me?
Short of making a V sign and hanging a placard round his neck saying fuck the Pope. Couldn't be worse. And yet Sinn Féin say they want to come here and talk.
Aye. And so the Unionists are crying betrayal.
Yeah, well, we have to convince them that's not going to happen.
They meet with David Trimble.
Please, have a seat, Mr. Trimble.
Well, basically, Secretary of State, what it boils down to is this...
No, please.
I'll stick with Secretary of State, if you don't mind. Now, Sinn Féin may have told you that they are prepared to enter talks, but they have not delivered an IRA ceasefire, and neither have they given us any indication that they are preparing to disarm.
Our aim would be to get them to disarm during negotiations.
It's a staggeringly naive position.
Don't accuse me of naivety.
It's nothing to what Dr. Paisley is accusing you of.
We appreciate that you are the moderate face of unionism.
We will not be sold down the river.
We have no intention of doing that.
We are prepared to talk about power sharing, provided Sinn Féin IRA renounce violence.
Which I welcome.
Yes, but they have done no such thing, and you want to do business with them. At precisely the worst possible moment, the marching season is upon us. At Drumcree and elsewhere across the province, unionists are preparing to demonstrate their loyalty to the Crown and their opposition to a united Ireland.
Which we absolutely respect.
Yes, and why should I believe you, the representative of a party that has consistently sided with Republicans?
No, not anymore. We have said very clearly we believe Northern Ireland should remain part of the UK unless the majority of people here want that to change.
Yes. Well, you may have said
that. Oh, really, David? What do I have to do to convince you there's no hidden agenda?
Mo bares her legs as she hoists one foot up onto the coffee table. Trimble looks away, embarrassed and flustered.
Yes, well, history will prove whether you're telling the truth or not. Obviously.
I hope they were orange and not green.
He's lucky I'm wearing any.
I completely discombobulated him.
I know, but that's what you've got to do, isn't it? Get them out of their comfort zone.
Well, you certainly did that.
But we're not going to sell them out. So we have to make it absolutely clear to the Shinners that we're serious about wanting negotiations, but that they have to deliver a ceasefire first.
How are you going to do that?
Oh, face to face.
Mo, you cannot possibly meet with them.
No, but you could.
You want me to talk to terrorists? Thanks.
Knew you'd be up for it.
This is it, the Gavachy Road.
where 1,000 Orangemen want to march on Sunday morning. The Orangemen believe it's their birthright to march down this road. Unfortunately, it bisects a nationalist community which feels its intimidation. Through the day, army reinforcements arrive and the tension mounts. But on the Garbaki Road tonight, time is running out if violence is to be avoided.
Adam and Mo are escorted to a hostile Orange Order meeting.
Should I try telling them I've got a season ticket for Ibrox?
Well, at least you're a prod, Adam, and a bloke. But this is the first time there's ever been a fanny in the building.
The Orange men shout and jeer at Mo.
We are standing for the Secretary of State and her Security Minister.
Thank you for inviting me here. First, can I say I have the greatest respect for your traditions. No one disputes your historic right to march from Portadown to Drumcree Church on 6th of July. There's only one difficulty, as you know, and that is that part of your return route passes a Catholic area on the Garbaki Road. I have to ask you, is it so important you walk along the Garbaki Road?
Don't get them to show her some fucking respect.
Be the end of the world if that small part of your march was rerouted.
All we want to do is to walk along the Queen's Highway.
Are you a member of the Orange Order, sweetheart?
That I am too.
Isn't it time you started acting like one then?
What are you?
You claim to respect the Queen.
Aye.
Do you think she'd respect you?
Mo and Adam, escorted by an armoured van, are driven to a sports hall. One of the aides hands Mo a takeaway bag.
Thanks, Ken. Fucking ravenous.
Mo, can you not wait? This is the spokesman for the Garbaki Road residents for me.
So what?
He's a former IRA man.
And hopefully he's heard them taking no shit from the Orange Man, but he's not having my crispy duck.
Inside, Mo and Adam sit opposite the spokesman. Mo eats her takeaway.
Why should those scum be allowed to march past our houses?
But they don't walk past your houses. Are you sure you won't have a spare rib? As I understand it, they walk past the gable end of some of them. But the estate is largely off the Garbaki Road.
The residents could just ignore the march. Instead of walking to the Garbaki Road, specifically to stand there and be insulted, which is what they're being encouraged to do.
Are you accusing me of stirring things up?
Do you actually live on the estate, Brendan?
What's that got to do with it? These people want to wipe us out.
Some of them do.
They're thugs and murderers.
Well, some of them may be.
Ban the march. If you don't, this town will go up in flames. And you can forget about any IRA ceasefire. And your peace process.
Mo calmly licks her fingers and wipes them on a serviette. Then dabs her lips.
I won't give in to blackmail. From either side. But whatever my decision, I promise I'll come back and give it to you in person.
Right.
At Hillsborough, John's playing cards with his son, whilst keeping one eye on the news.
Okay.
Mo and Adam enter the grand room.
Yes, I realise it's a security decision, Ronnie. It's just the wrong one. Shit!
What's happened?
The chief constable is letting them march.
What?
Well, he thinks there'll be violence either way, but it'll be worse if the Orangemen don't get their way.
But it's Mo's decision.
No, actually, it's Ronnie's.
That's outrageous.
And he knows the territory better than any of us.
These Orangemen are just bullies.
And I think he's probably called it rape.
Shut the fuck up, Adam!
Mo, they're here.
What? Who's here?
Your mum and Jean.
Oh, Jesus. Completely forgotten they were coming.
so bloody competitive.
Can you imagine what it was like to have her as a little sister? Huh? I always had to let her win.
Why else should let him win?
No! Wait, come on. Well done, Freddy. We'll play another one.
Come on. Can I go first next time?
Hello?
Ronnie. How bad?
Mo heads inside. Henrietta's looking at a scrapbook filled with newspaper clippings about Mo.
Yes, yes. Yeah, well, you keep me posted.
She's your number one fan.
What, darling?
Your mum. All the stuff she saves about you.
Oh, yeah. Mother's pride. Curse and a blessing. Orange men began to walk down the Gavraki Road,
escorted by the security forces. The chief constable. Bet your dad would have been proud too.
But any hope might have been averted altogether was swiftly dispelled.
He had an alcohol problem, didn't he?
He did, darling. Yes. Were forcibly removed by RUC
officers. Did it upset
when
you?
The march had passed through, well, a long time ago. But it did make me realise that the worst thing in life is not to be in control. All residents were prevented from leaving their housing estates and accessing the main road. A riot developed and plastic bullets were fired. You see, I promised these people that I would go back and give them my decision in person. And the police wouldn't let me do that.
Mo watches the violence on the news with sadness. In her office.
I've written to all parties. Put a stop to this nonsense over marches. We need an independent commission to decide on whether they go ahead.
Good.
Right. Who's to go today? Now, please, Mary. Thank you.
Have you heard?
No, the shippers have gone quiet. They know we've got the houses and offices bugged, so they've gone off up into the hills.
Yes, but I've just heard from one of our touts who's up there with them. He's saying that they may be ready to play ball.
Maybe?
A strong maybe.
Oh, great, Adam. And every day we're getting closer to civil war. Yeah?
It's President Clinton for you.
Okay, put him through, please.
I'm up. How are you?
In need of divine intervention, darling. I really think this place is going to go up in flames.
Well, my people have been trying to help.
I know you have, Bill, I know.
What else can I do for you?
Well, it seems the Shinners are close to a ceasefire, but I want you to tell them if they don't deliver now, you won't just have their American funding cut off, but their balls as well.
You want me to speak to Sinn Féin in person?
Oh, yeah? I mean, Gerry Adams is so in awe of you, he'd go camping up your arse if you asked him to.
Well, I'll use that, plus every bit of influence I have.
Thanks, Bill. We really, really have to move quickly on this.
Understood, Mo.
Great. Love to Hillary. Hello? Dr. Glazer?
Mark! All right?
This, my colleague is routinely reviewing all our cases. I'm sure it's nothing to worry about.
No. You're not implying I'm not up to the job, are you?
No, I don't think so.
I see you've surrendered your driving licence.
Don't need it. I've drivers now.
My point is,
if I'm not allowed to drive, am I fit to hold a high office of state? My treatment was successful. I'm over the side effects.
The tumour is in abeyance, but it hasn't gone away. It still has the potential to cause cognitive problems, poor judgement, disinhibition. You're taking decisions with life and death consequences.
Okay. How do I prove to you that I'm not Doolally? Let's see, I was born on the 18th of September 1949. The current monarch is Queen Elizabeth II. The name of the Prime Minister is... Oh, no. Slipped my mind. Terry, is it? Terry Brapp. Of course I'm bloody up to it, Doc. The PM certainly thinks so.
He knows about your illness.
I think the whole world knows about it now.
I mean the seriousness of it. That hasn't been made public.
No, Tony knows everything. Really.
Could you give us a moment, please, Dr. Marlowe?
Yes, of course. Don't do anything I wouldn't do.
She pats the specialist on the knee and gives him a cheeky wink.
Mo?
Dr. Glazer looks very serious.
We've agreed I should continue to monitor you very closely.
Mo waves at the specialist and gives a laboured smile.
But if anything goes wrong, the responsibility's all mine.
I won't let you down. I promise.
She hugs Dr. Glazer, but over his shoulder, she looks worried.
Thank you.
Mo's lying on a sofa in her grand residence, reading some paperwork, with a half-eaten breakfast at her side and sunshine pouring in through the window. John wanders through the doorway, wearing nothing but pyjama bottoms.
I was going to make you breakfast in bed.
Oh, sorry, darling. Just got all this crap to read. Never get a chance during the week, so...
What is the point of me flying over here? I spend most of my week on my own. The kids are always out. I get bored. Lonely.
Are you seeing someone else?
No. Are you?
Oh, fuck off, John. I'm working 18 hours a day. Do you think I've honestly got time to go and shag someone
else? You always managed before you met me.
Hello? Oh, Tony, hi. Oh, that's wonderful! Thank Christ! We were hoping it was coming, but... Yeah. Well... It was very sweet of you to say so, babe. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, speak soon.
IRA ceasefire.
Isn't it brilliant? He's sure the Shinners are going to come into the talks now, which means, of course, Paisley will walk out, but it's such a breakthrough.
Absolutely fucking fantastic.
And so just weeks after the IRA ceasefire was announced, leading Sinn Féin figures are arriving at Stormont. For the first time in 80 years, Britain will negotiate with Irish Republican leaders.
Martin McGuinness and Gerry Adams arrive at Stormont and pass through tight security. Mo regards her balding head in a bathroom mirror, then carefully dons a wig. She sighs heavily, then briskly walks down a corridor with Adam and George Mitchell. They join Martin McGuinness and Gerry Adams in an office.
Martin, hi. Sorry this had to be off camera.
We expected no more.
Gerry, welcome to Stormont.
Welcome to Ireland.
You've met Senator Mitchell, of course.
Indeed.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Coffee?
Thank you.
Now, no time to lose. I've asked George to chair the talks, and he set a deadline.
An agreement by next Easter.
We won't be answerable to a deadline set by anybody.
We're trying to find a solution to a problem.
Without a deadline, I don't believe there's any chance of an agreement.
I think it's eminently achievable. Help yourself to milk and sugar.
We're trying to find a solution to a problem caused by hundreds of years of British colonialism.
To be precise, 1609, British settlers
came
over and took our land.
Look, I'm a Scot. English landlords took our land. We don't still harp on about it.
Well, I'm an Irishman. I'm still fighting.
Find the attitude of your security minister. Very unhelpful.
The point Adam's making is that we have to look forward, not back.
Now who's doing the lecture?
No, I'm not here to lecture you.
And that'll be a first coming from a British Secretary of State. Oh.
So with that, I expect. Oh, the fucking thing.
She pulls off her wig.
Sometimes aren't there just times when all you want is a bloody good scratch?
McGinnis and Adams are taken aback.
I suppose so.
I tell you what, boys. Let's start this meeting again. Only this time, no cocks on the table.
She smiles, and the meeting goes ahead with the wig on the table. Mo leaves with Adam and George.
How did I do, George?
I have to say you have the most unorthodox negotiating technique I've ever seen in my life, but my answer is brilliantly. I think we're in business.
The clock in Mo's lounge has just gone 9:30 a.m. She's on the sofa going through more paperwork.
Hello?
She sits up straight.
Shit.
David Trimble.
Secretary of State, how could this possibly have happened?
I'm still trying to find out.
You are responsible for security inside the men's prison.
Yes, I realise that.
Which is so lax that the Republican prisoners have broken into the Loyalist compound and shot one of their enemies. Now, Billy Wright may be a murderer, but he is an icon to many people. This could spell the end of the Loyalist ceasefire.
David, I understand all that.
With fatal consequences for the peace process.
I know that. Please don't patronise me.
It is the Unionist people of Ulster who are consistently being patronised. Dr. Moller.
The three Republican prisoners accused of killing Billy Wright have been remanded on charges of murder and possessing firearms. This picture...
It's a prison.
Nobody's safe in that place. And apart from the physical danger, you need to consider the political risk of going into the maze.
Adam, I've asked the people of Northern Ireland to take their courage in their hands. How can I not do the same?
Journalists swarm round Mo's car as she's driven towards the gates of the maze prison. The car passes through the gate. Inside, Mo walks along a corridor with two guards. She's let through a metal gate into a sectioned-off area where seven male prisoners are waiting.
Morning, gentlemen.
She speaks to them, alone, in a stockroom.
When the INLA men that shot our Billy gave themselves up, they were laughing, so they were. They think that whatever they do, Adams and McGinnis will demand you release them as part of any peace agreement.
I've given no such assurances.
But they say you will. We're soldiers too. Who's speaking up for us?
You do have political representatives.
But they don't get the attention Sinn Féin do.
That's why I'm here. I want to include everyone in this process.
But when the Republicans talk about getting out of jail...
All I can say is the issue of prisoner releases will be addressed without favour to either side.
OK, but we have a bigger concern.
What's that?
We're British, not Irish. We're afraid you'll pull out of the Union.
Categorically not. Because central to any agreement will be the principle of consent.
Meaning what, precisely?
That the Irish Republic will renounce all territorial claim on Northern Ireland, which will remain part of the UK for as long as the majority here wanted to. But everyone will have to make painful compromises. People will have to share power with sworn enemies and perhaps see men back out on the streets who may have killed their friends and family. It'll be very, very painful. But the prize is peace. For generations to come. I think you're big enough to grasp it.
The men look thoughtful. An aeroplane touches down in Belfast and John makes his way through the airport on the phone whilst looking at a newspaper headline that reads, Mo in peace plea to murderers.
Why didn't you tell me?
Oh, darling, it wasn't such a big deal.
You sat in a prison with
virtually no protection with a bunch of
murdering bastards who had every reason to kill you.
Yeah, what a bunch of big girls' blouses they turned out to be.
Oh, don't be so facetious. What if one of them had gone for you? Or wouldn't you have cared?
What?
Is that what this is about? You think you've got no future anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Of course I've got a future. What are you talking about?
Maya?
Where are you?
On my way to see you.
But just bloody well get here, then.
Certainly a huge gamble. Tonight it seems that
Mo and John are in bed together, their clothes scattered all over the floor.
Coming only weeks before the deadline for an agreement, the brutal murders at Points Pass will put further pressure on Secretary of State Mo Mullen. Earlier today, SDLP was killed at Mullen.
At Struel Lodge.
Hello, everybody! Thought you'd have to cancel with everything that's going on.
No, no, all those other things don't make this any less important.
Many of the young people have learning disabilities.
I hereby declare Struel Lodge officially open! May you all be very happy in your new home!
Oh, Donna, this is Mo.
Hello, Donna. Jaffa cake or jammy dodger? Sod it, I'll have a jammy dodger. Thank you very much, Donna. Hello, I'm Mo.
Hey, Noah, I've seen you on TV.
What's your name?
Kevin.
Lovely to meet you, Kevin.
She shakes his hand.
Yes?
It says you may not be able to come, but I'm glad you did.
I'm very glad you asked me to.
This is my home now.
Where did you live before, Kevin?
I didn't have a home before. Will you come see us again?
I promise. You tried to stop me.
Well, of course. Reassuring to know he's taking such a close, personal interest in all of this.
Mo marches into David Trimble's office.
Well, thank him for that. Give me an hour.
I understand you've read the latest draft, but you still have problems.
Indeed, and I intend to explain them shortly.
Okay.
The Prime Minister.
What?
He's asked me to join him at Hillsborough.
Okay. I'll organise a car to take us up there.
No, there's no need. The meeting is a one-on-one.
David, I'm running these negotiations.
You were.
Mo looks confused.
Senator Mitchell is, of course, welcome to join us. The PM and I will gladly debrief him after the meeting.
George gives Mo an apologetic look. But she raises her hands understandingly. John's watching the news whilst on the phone to Mo.
A surprise appearance from Prime Minister Blair in Belfast, with time running out before Thursday's deadline, and the race to find a settlement becoming ever more frantic.
Bastard.
I know, it's your show.
Who are you talking about?
Blair.
No, I'm talking about Trimble.
Well, I'm watching Blair now, and he obviously wants to take this whole thing off you.
No, that's rubbish, darling. No, we're a team. Look, sweet, I've got to go.
Okay. Bye.
How come Trimble has access to the Prime Minister and we don't?
No, I promised you no one gets special treatment. But if you want access to Tony, I mean, don't fanny about. Just say so, babe. Okay?
Mo and George are speaking to the press.
Yes, the deadline is only a few hours away, and Senator Mitchell and I do not underestimate the enormous amount of work still to be done. But I remain confident that a historic agreement can be reached.
Thank you.
Signers are warning of the ferocious opposition the deal would receive from those fighting any agreement. The Reverend Ian Paisley, who has walked out of the talks, said it was the path to partition and betrayal. Despite Dr. Paisley's intervention, it seems most parties, including the PUP and the SDLP, are ready to embrace the agreement and all our depends on the
future. Boys, we need to clarify your position on prisoner releases.
Sorry, Mo. Jerry's talking to Bill Clinton at the minute. Besides which, we need to make our position on prisoner releases clear to both Blair and the Taoiseach in person. No offence.
No, I'm taken, Bill. Oh, David, the PM wants to see you urgently. He wants to discuss your last remaining concerns on cross-border bodies.
Yes, and what makes you think that they're my last remaining concerns?
Some people are asking why you've put up with it.
What?
The Shinnos patronising you, Trimble treating you like a tea lady.
Adam heads into the gents' toilet, and Mo barges in, addressing him at the urinal.
I'll tell you exactly why. Because if making me feel small makes the Shinners feel bigger, fine.
I know.
And the same goes for Trimble. The more flack I take off him, the more he thinks the sun shines out of Tony's arse. Net effect is to make both sides more likely to sign up.
I said I know.
What?
I know exactly what you're doing. And what's so brilliant is that they don't have a clue.
Oh, not bad. Don't forget to shake it when you're finished. Dr. Paisley! How are you? Really? Well, I have said I want to include everyone in the talks. You as well. Paisley says there are terrorists and at least one homosexual in the building.
Well, we better get security onto that one, eh? Is he sure there's only one? Oh, dear.
Do you think we're going to do it, Mo?
I mean, this thing's right in the fucking knife edge.
There's no time for doubt, Adam.
Leaflets are printed, and people make their vote.
In the final hours of those Good Friday talks, with the deadline passing, even then, I could feel the will of that vast, decent majority of people in Northern Ireland urging us on.
What's been called the Good Friday Agreement, a negotiated framework for peace in Ireland, was today put to the people in an extraordinary referendum.
Yes, 71.12%.
It took the British, the Irish, the Americans standing together as never before. It took David Trimble and John Hume and Seamus Mallon. And yes, it takes Gerry Adams, David Irvine and Gary McMichael too. It took our one and only Mo.
Me.
The applause grows, and one by one, everyone in the auditorium stands. John claps, proudly watching from the stalls. Mo stands up, looking embarrassed.
Well done, Mo. Wonderful job.
Mo, John, and Adam watch a repeat of the speech.
Without fear of contradiction, well, that's the first time there's been a standing ovation in the middle of a speech. And the person getting the ovation isn't even the person making the speech.
Craig Nolan has been attracting Diana-like observation at public gatherings for some time.
Telling you, I've never seen anything like it.
You're such a star.
Too big a star for some.
What do you mean?
I'm not sure how popular you're going to be with Tony. staging him like that.
That's crap.
It occurred to me.
Oh, he was deleted, you could see.
But you never know if he means it.
Of course he means it. He's my mate.
She notices Peter Mandelson and David Trimble in conversation outside. They shake hands and part, causing Mo concern. She meets with Trimble.
The euphoria which greeted the Good Friday Agreement has given way to a different mood as politicians, principally the Ulster Unionists and Sinn Féin, grapple with the problems and seek implementing it.
I will not sit in any assembly with a party that retains an illegal private army.
You know as well as I do that the issue of IRA arms is purely symbolic.
I know no such thing.
They could hand in every gun tomorrow and rearm the next day.
Sinn Féin are manipulating you.
You are the one who is being manipulated, Dr. Molan, and unlike the Prime Minister, you're failing to see the risks I have taken to bring the unionist community this far.
But the Prime Minister, I am the Secretary of State.
And I am the First Minister designate, and you will find that your authority here is not what it was. What's more, it has become clear to everyone that your sympathies have always lain with the Green, and not the Orange.
Mo and Adam are with Martin McGuinness and Gerry Adams.
Mo, to go any further would be to betray hundreds of years of Republican struggle.
Look, if Trimble doesn't get movement on IRA arms, his supporters will defect to Paisley's party.
We're not in the business of saving Trimble's political skin.
So, you'd rather deal with Paisley, would you?
We'll deal with whoever we have to.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Oh, no. I'll tell you what it is. It's fucking perversity. If you don't want to help Trimble, you could at least help me.
We'd love to help you, Mo.
You might have all the time in the world, you bastard, but I don't.
Could you not call me a bastard?
Well, you are a bastard. Bastard.
Adam follows Mo out.
Fucking paddies.
Steady on, Mo.
Well, maybe this is the only way you ever get real unity in Northern Ireland. When they all want you to fuck off.
They don't want you to fuck off. They're just fighting for their own.
I know, I understand that. And I know they've all shown enormous courage to get this far, but stalemate in Northern Ireland is always dangerous.
What's John doing here?
Oh, no idea.
We just have to stay with it, Mo. Something will give.
Darling.
Hi.
Did you get it? I'm sorry to drag you all the way over here. It's just, there's nothing else I could trust.
Surely that's no real possible.
Just get me, darling. I need to know.
All right. Hang on.
In a toilet cubicle, Mo pats her lap impatiently and checks her watch before looking at a pregnancy test. It shows a single blue line. She looks up at her reflection. Her haggard face stares back at her in amazement. Mo's waiting in Dr. Glazer's office at the hospital. Her serious face lightens as Dr. Glazer walks in.
You haven't told anyone, have you, Mark?
Sent the sample under a false name.
And?
You're not pregnant.
You're quite sure? Why did the other tests prove positive?
It's a side effect of the treatment. Effect of the hormones. You are relieved.
Yes, obviously.
She can't hide her disappointment.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's part of me that hoped you would say I was pregnant. I mean, I know I've got John's kids, but and they're lovely. You know,
absurd anyway. Absolutely absurd. The idea of a woman my age having a baby. I mean, I suppose I could have had an abortion, you know, but they're illegal in Northern Ireland. I mean, the only thing that unites the Shinners and the Unionists is their opposition to abortion. I'd have had to cut rid of it secretly. And what are the chances of that? No, it's fine. I can get on now. I can get on and finish the job in Ireland.
Peter Kilfoyle shows Mo a newspaper headline.
Oi!
Oi!
No wonder you're back here.
Why?
Molem to move to health in reshuffle.
Is that the first time you've seen her? Typical bloody Blair, eh? Says one thing to your face.
This won't be Tony. This is his spin doctor.
Yeah, I only say so. But for how much longer we can put up with him, Mo? It's been a big disappointment. I think the party will be looking for a replacement soon.
Me? That's madness! Anyway, there's Gordon.
Gordon? Gordon's missed his chance. Now listen, if Dana was the people's princess, you're the people's politician. Think about it.
Mo and John are having dinner in their vast dining room.
I spoke to Tony.
About the rumours?
Yeah. He says he's got no plans to move me.
And you believe him?
You know,
I think Kilfoyle's right about you being the next leader. If there was a leadership election, you'd wipe the floor with Blair.
Do you really think so?
You're in Ireland most of the time, Mo. You don't hear the media gossip. People love you. You've got principles, fantastic political skills. Charisma, you've got soul. You're this country's Bill Clinton.
So, if that happened and I became PM, how would you feel?
You mean if you were Bill, could I be Hillary?
Yeah.
Well, I'd have the time. I'm being made redundant.
You're joking.
Isn't it fantastic? I hate the bloody bank.
Well, you've got no excuse now not to take up painting.
And I'll be able to support you. Everything's possible.
Is it?
Yes.
John raises his glass and Mo clinks it with hers. In the Palace of Westminster, Mo sees Mandelson talking to Trimble. Seeing her, Trimble moves on, but Mandelson waits for her to come over.
What are you doing here?
Observing the Northern Ireland debate.
What the fuck for?
I have a long-standing interest in Northern Irish affairs. My grandfather, as you know, was a very distinguished unionist.
Fuck your grandfather. You're after my job.
Oh, but already late.
Of course not. Though a cabinet reshuffle is on the cards, and in politics one must never rule anything out.
Don't lie, smarming round Trimble. Probably telling Tony to sack me too, you devious cunt.
Is this really the demeanour one would expect of a minister of the crown?
You won't fucking win!
If you carry on like this, people are going to ask if there's something wrong with you.
Mo glares at him, seething with anger. Mandelson turns and skulks away. A news report shows a young paramilitant throwing Molotov cocktails at the police.
Yeah. 18 months on from the referendum,
referendum, last night's upsurge in paramilitary violence is being blamed on the continued stalemate over weapons decommissioning.
Come up to Hillsborough.
Oh, I'd love to, but I promised Maureen I'd get home this weekend. She's forgotten what I look like. Hey, you're doing great, Dawn.
Well, there's a sort of bloody Mandelson stealing all this off me.
It may never happen. Even if it did, you'd get something bigger.
Well, some people are saying I should go for Tony's job.
Who? Guilfoyle?
Yes.
Dick Bowen.
And John?
It's never going to happen.
Well, John thinks it can.
Who's he got in mind for your Chancellor? Elton John? Look, your husband knows fuck all about politics.
And I thought you were my friend.
That's why I'm saying it.
No, no, it's true what they say. You want a friend in politics, buy a fucking dog.
More.
John's standing naked in the living room at Hillsborough, painting on a canvas. Mo wanders into the room, looking depressed. She pours herself an alcoholic drink.
Right. I'll make dinner. Steak béarnaise. What's wrong?
It's all over. Tony rang. He said if we don't break the deadlock soon, the whole peace thing will come unravelled. So he's replacing me.
With who? Mandelson?
Yeah. He said I've had over 2 years, which is longer than most people lost in the job. And there are other jobs I can do.
Such as?
Health. London mayor.
That is ridiculous. You should be running the country. Never mind bloody London.
Yeah, well, Adam thinks that's a fantasy.
Just because he's never going to make it to the top, he's no right to piss on your ambitions. You can't be forced out of here, Mo. Apart from anything else.
What? Apart from anything else, what?
It's this challenge which helped you beat the illness. Without it, you tell Blair you demand to be allowed to finish the job here.
Oh, darling, I have.
All right, then, you insist on Foreign Secretary, nothing less. Do it now.
John.
And if he won't agree, tell him you'll sit on the back benches and make his life impossible. He knows you're the most popular politician in the country. A word from you and you could bring him down.
No, darling. That's bollocks. I know it. Tony knows it. If you don't, you're dreaming.
Mo sips her drink and gives a heavy sigh. Now she's bidding farewell to her colleagues.
Now, his boyfriend's called Ronaldo and his dog's called Bobby. Don't get them the wrong way round.
Tony knows that what you did here was fantastic, but now's the time for cold politics. And my staying on means there'll be continuity.
I understand that.
They say you can leave Ireland, but it never leaves you.
She throws her arms around Adam and hugs him tightly. Then she composes herself and heads towards the door.
See you soon, Mo.
She turns and winks at Adam before venturing outside to confront the press.
Help! 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 Help!
to pay tribute to Mo's extraordinary achievement here in Northern Ireland. I only hope I can do half as well.
Thank you.
She shakes Mandelson's hand on the steps of Stormont, overlooking the wide open countryside. Privately, she begins to cry.
Bastard! But there's a perception amongst some sections, and I expect it's no more than a perception.
She straightens up and strides confidently towards a car.
Onwards and upwards, boys!
She gets into the back and is driven away from Stormont. Later, Mo's walking down a street in London when she recognises a man walking the other way. Seeing her, the man stops in his tracks. Mo's face breaks into a smile as she realises it's Adam.
Well, well! You belligerent Scots bastard!
They hug, then have a drink in a pub.
I'm doing after dinner speeches. I've got an agony column. I'm even recording a pilot for my TV chat show next month.
Brilliant.
Yes, so there's life after politics.
Well, certainly fucking Blair could still have been taking advantage of that if he wanted to, couldn't he?
He did give you another job.
The Cabinet Office. Minister for Paperclips.
Oh. Tony was genuinely sorry to see you go.
Well, that's not what John said. John says he's a two-faced opportunist. He stole my success in Ireland, and then he wanted me out of the way because I became a rival.
You don't really believe that.
Why shouldn't I?
Fucking nonsense, Mo. Really, it's cat.
She looks tearful.
Oh, I wish I could believe that, Adam. But I get thinking about it sometimes and I can't get it out of my head.
He's the Prime Minister, Mo. He has to make tough decisions. And sometimes those decisions hurt people, people who aren't just colleagues, people who are friends. And look what happened in Ireland after you left. Huh? Mandelson didn't crack it. No, neither did Reed. Ah, they made progress, but there's more to do. It's like Everest. You and me, we climbed the toughest stretch. But somebody else will get to the summit. And I know that that's hard for you, Mo. Because you're a getting to the summit kind of person.
She nods and smiles through her tears. Then they share a wistful look. Her eyes fill with sadness.
Well, that's all history now. I've got to get on. Did I tell you I'm writing a book?
Oh, I hope you're going to be kind to me, aren't you?
They hug once more, and Mo gives his back a friendly rub. She makes her way through the hazy, smoke-filled pub. People glide up and down the escalators in a bright and airy shopping mall. Mo's sitting at a stall, signing copies of her book entitled Momentum.
Thank you.
Hi, sweetheart.
Get signed, best wishes to share.
Sean. The man holds up his camera to take a photograph.
Yeah?
You all right? Oops. Thank you. Hello, sweetheart. What name?
Very funny, Dr. Mullen. Me as president, January 1998. Michael Stone. I executed 3 Catholics and injured 60 others at Milltown Cemetery in 1988. How can you not remember me?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Of course.
I was released under the terms of the Good Friday Agreement. Heard you were in Belfast. Came to pay my respects.
Thank you.
Can't hang around. You're trying to kill me.
Who are?
The IRA. Plus some of my own side for supporting the agreement, selling out.
Really?
The war will never be over for me. But for most people in Northern Ireland, it is. We owe you. Big time.
Thank you.
Could you?
Yeah, of course. To Michael.
She signs a book for him.
I'm here. For you.
He gives her a painting.
One of mine.
It's a portrait of a woman with black hair set against a pink and green background.
It's beautiful. Thank you.
Good luck.
You too.
She watches Michael Stone scurry away with urgency, then contemplates the painting. Mo pulls up outside Struel Lodge in a taxi. She walks with small, laboured steps through the front door.
Such a lovely surprise, Mo. Promise I'd come back. Didn't I, Kevin?
Aye, I knew you would.
It's lovely to see you, my darling.
Got something to show you.
Oh, right.
He leads her into his room. On the walls are pictures of horses and several rosettes. Framed pictures of Elvis Presley, Dolly Parton, and Mo.
Heroes?
Well, you're my hero. Come here.
She embraces him.
I love jigsaws.
You like jigsaws?
Yes, I do. We do a lot at home.
11, 1, 2, 3, 4. Aye, 6.
You're
7.
Going the wrong way.
That's where I'm going, I'm here.
You were there. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yes,
4,
yes, yes, yes.
5, 6.
Yes,
7,
yes.
8, 9,
okay, get the picture.
More tea?
Yes, please. And cake.
You like us?
Mo looks unsure, but Kevin smiles warmly at her. As he goes to fetch more tea, Mo sighs with a satisfied expression. Now she's in her modest living room, listening to the greatest hits of Patti Page. Dressed in a long white nightdress and cardigan, she mimes dancing with a partner.
To the Tennessee walls.
She's reflected in the glass of a framed piece of paper covered in signatures, which reads the Belfast Agreement, an agreement reached at the multi-party talks on Northern Ireland.
And while they were dancing, my friends stole my sweetheart from me.
She slowly turns, her arms held out, bathed in a golden halo of sunlight.
Now I know just how much I have lost.
She sings along, looking content, and pads about the living room in her purple slippers. Dr. Glazer is at the door.
Mark! Perfect timing. Come in. Come in.
I've been asked to do this programme where they get celebrities to dance.
Oh.
Yeah, the producer's coming round. I need to practice.
She takes him by the hand and they dance.
Oh, you're very good.
What if she asked me to do the pas a fucking doble?
See your point. Should we sit down for a moment?
I think I'd better be honest with her. Tell her I can only do the slow ones.
Thanks.
Well, maybe I should just tell her to fuck the whole thing. You know, maybe I should say I'm not up to it.
Where's John?
Oh, he's gone to a protest meeting about Iraq. He's very angry. Says it'll be the end of Blair. So, that's a come. Oh, has he not Powell said all political careers end in failure?
Except yours.
Sometimes I have to remind myself it wasn't a dream.
Why'd you call me? You still having problems sleeping?
I need more than fucking sleeping tablets, Mark. I'm sorry. We're fine once we're in Kent.
You're moving to Kent?
Yeah. John's always dreamed of living in a place like that. He'll be able to paint. And I'll be able to...
Her emotions cause her to falter.
No. I asked you around because... I'm trying to understand. You keep saying my scans are fine. But, well, look at me.
The scans show the tumour has been arrested, but not eradicated, and the radiotherapy took its toll.
Yeah, but you gave me 2 years. Here I am after six. Does that mean I've beaten it or not?
It means you've done well. We can't predict with absolute certainty the progress of the disease, just as we can't say for sure how long it's been present.
What do you mean?
Often, a tumour has been there long before the symptoms become obvious.
So, how long before I was diagnosed do you think I've had this?
Well, one can't be certain.
Well, no, but you can guess. What, a year? 5 years? 10 years?
Dr. Glazer looks grave.
20?
If possible.
So, the symptoms, the disinhibition and the personality change, they can go back that far?
Yes.
Oh. Good old Mo, a Mo that everybody loves, larger than life Mo, that it could all be because of the tumour.
Dr. Glazer looks away, uncertain of what to say.
Well, you tell me, Mark, which part's the real me and which is the tumour?
A car drives down a country lane and parks outside Mo and John's cottage. A marquee's been erected in the garden, and guests are enjoying food and drink. Adam and his wife get out of the car and make their way across the lawn.
Plates.
I'll get them.
Don't be silly, I'll go.
No, I said I'll go, Jean.
Jean offers a supporting hand, but Mo shrugs her off.
Jesus.
She walks slowly and unsteadily towards the house.
She's struggling, eh?
Well, we all know who to thank for that.
What?
Blair.
That's crazy, John. She's ill.
She was fine till he shafted her.
Hey, let's keep politics out of today.
Oh!
Mo falls over.
Me up!
Come on, Mo.
I'm not going in there.
It's the best thing, darling. Honestly.
She reluctantly sits in the wheelchair.
Happy now?
Come on, Mo. Don't be like that.
Like what? Blair, our flicking bastard.
Don't speak to Adam like that.
You're no better, Jean. You call yourself a sister. What have you ever done for me? I'm a sick, drink-swilling invalid. Just like Dad. And you don't give a shit!
That is so unfair.
Yeah. Everything's unfair.
Come on, Mo. This isn't you.
What do you know about what's me? Even I don't know that anymore. I've had everything taken from me! By Blair, by cancer, by God! And there isn't even a fucking God! My life has meant nothing. Peace in Ireland? Fucking shit!
No, Mo. Mo.
Fuck off! Fuck off! Fuck off, all of you!
John softly places his hands on Mo's shoulders as she sobs. At night, Mo and John are in bed. She stirs.
John.
She slowly lifts herself up.
I wet the bed.
All right. You sleep on my side.
John gets out of bed and helps her roll over. He stands over her, looking deeply saddened. Then makes his way to the spare room. Later, Mo enters the room, supported by a walking frame.
John, can I get in with you?
John moves up and Mo clambers into bed with him. He lies with his back to her and she puts an arm around him.
Love you, John.
John rolls over to face her. He stares into her eyes, their noses almost touching.
I love you too.
I do.
He kisses her. They cuddle each other and press their foreheads together. In the morning, as Mo hobbles out of the bedroom, she trips and bangs her head against a dresser.
Oh.
Mo?
John?
Mo?
From John cradling his frail wife to a memory of Mo vibrant and full of life running down the beach. John's standing in a hospital room, his face filled with sadness. He steps out into the corridor and sees Adam walking towards him. John goes to greet him, and they slow as they near each other. Then they embrace. They both enter a room. Mo's lying in a hospital bed, unconscious, with Jean standing at her side. Adam hugs Jean, then sits at the end of the bed. John stands in the doorway.
They said I have to talk to you. As if you listen to me half the time, huh? Well, tough. You'll just have to. I suppose you'll want the Westminster gossip. Who's shagging who and who's shafting who. And to be honest, I don't have much gossip. It's August, everybody's on holiday. Tony's at Cliff Richard's place in Barbados. I can imagine what you'd say about that. Gordon, he's just mooching about his house in North Queensferry, I suppose. Wondering if his chance is ever going to come.
Adam places his hand on Mo's.
Hey, Mo. I'm sorry we fell out of the party, Mo. I could say I know it was the illness, because we all know how hard it's been for you. But I'm not going to say that. Because I don't care if it was the illness or not. It's you we love, Mom. All of you, no, just some part of you. If you told me to fuck off again, that would be just fine. But oh. Hey, Mo. Mo, whatever happens, you must never let yourself think there was all for nothing. Because you made a huge difference, Mo. Not just in Ireland, everywhere. Everywhere you went, to the lives of so many people. People who are not supposed to matter, if you made a huge difference, Mo. You're out there in history. That's the truth of it. Oh, big-headed English count.
Mo Molum never regained consciousness and died on the 19th of August 2005, aged 55. Her ashes were scattered in the grounds of Hillsborough Castle. Mo was an integral part of building a peace process in Northern Ireland that has endured for over a decade. All of us who work to support peace in Northern Ireland owe her our gratitude. Bill Clinton.